This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Thank you so much for being here. Gwen already introduced us, but I'm Tom LaFay. I'm one of the filmmakers of the film we're about to watch, Nos Están Matando, which in Spanish is They Are Killing Us. Which is basically the kind of the cry of the social movements in Colombia since the peace process has been going on. I'm here along with my fellow filmmakers, Emily Wright and Daniel Bustos, who have also been introduced. And we set out to make this film really as a platform to create discussion and dialogue on this issue at a time when a lot more focus was on the FARC demobilization in the country, and we felt the need to really try to bring this to the forefront of the discussion. And we're so honored to be able to be here with Hector Marino Caravalli, who's come all the way from Cauca, Colombia, and who we spent the good part of 2017 with, along with some other very courageous social leaders. Also want to say thank you again to WOLA and CAJAR, Colombian human rights legal organization that supported us in this journey, and especially to Slot. Gwen was actually one of the first people to reach out to us when our film was published on The Atlantic, and kind of brought up the idea of doing a bit of some screenings and a tour. And so it's amazing to be here after a week in Washington, D.C., where we've been advocating on this issue, which we'd like to talk about in the discussion afterwards. Last thing, I do want to mention in the film, you'll see a number that says that more than 200 social leaders and human rights defenders have been assassinated in Colombia since the peace process was signed in November 2016. To update that number as to the date, it's actually 343 social leaders and human rights defenders have been assassinated in the country.
También quiero hacerlo en español para, imagino que hay gente acá también. Entonces, pues, bienvenidos, buenas noches. Mi nombre es Tom LaFay. Estoy acá con mis compañeros, otros cineastas, Daniel Bustos y Emily Wright. Pues hicimos este documental como una plataforma para llevar la atención, para poner atención en el asunto de los asesinatos de líderes sociales en Colombia. Y hemos pasado la última semana en Washington, D.C., platicando con congresistas, con gente del Departamento de Estado, con medios de comunicación y el público también, para poner el enfoque en este asunto. Estamos honrados de estar acá con Hector Marino Caravalli, que ha venido desde Cauca, Colombia, que hemos pasado casi mucho tiempo en 2017 con él, con su familia, pues intentando a llevar la atención a esta. Queremos agradecer a WOLA, the Washington Office on Latin America, y también a CAJAR, el colectivo de abogados José Álvaro Restrepo, en Colombia, que nos ha apoyado bastante en esta jornada, y últimamente también a Slot y Gwen, quien realmente nos dio la oportunidad de estar aquí con ustedes esta noche. Pues, la última cosa, en el documental se nota que dice que hay como 200 líderes sociales y defensores de derechos humanos que han sido asesinados. Ese fue el número cuando nosotros estuvimos terminando la edición, como en febrero de este año. Desafortunadamente hay que reportar que realmente el número ha subido y ahora el número de asesinatos de líderes sociales y defensores de derechos humanos desde que firmaron la paz en Colombia en 2016 son 343. Entonces hay que tomar eso en cuenta. Pues muchísimas gracias y vamos a empezar.
All right, so to start, I'm going to ask one or two questions to Hector, just to set the context and see what we're talking about here. And I'm going to ask in Spanish, and then with the help of Aram, we'll translate. So I'll just try it. Hector, Bueno, en el contexto del Cauca, del norte del Cauca, tenemos un precedente muy importante de la lucha por las tierras, que es Manuel Quintín Lame, ¿cierto? Comienzos del siglo XX. Y fue un movimiento bastante importante, ¿no? Para los NASA, para el movimiento por la lucha de la tierra. ¿De qué manera ves tú que eso también ha ayudado a la lucha de, bueno, al reconocimiento de las tierras o la lucha por las tierras por parte de los afrodescendientes del norte del Cauca?
Bueno, antes que responder la pregunta.
Oh, so I just asked Hector, he's gonna, okay. So the question is basically, there's an important historical precedent, which is Manuel Quintín Lame, which is, we just know a lot about indigenous movements of resistance in Cauca, and let's say just generally of indigenous peoples, but Afro descendants, Cimarrones, have been mostly, largely, just very invisible for the rest of the country. And I just want Hector to kind of like tell us from his perspective how movements of Afro descendants have also come about in this, because largely the tenet is that the root of the Colombian conflict is the concentration of land, basically, by the political elites. And in this fight for land tenancy in Colombia, both Afro-descendants and indigenous peoples have had different types of fights and different traditions.
Bueno, antes de responder a,
before responding
a tu pregunta,
to your question,
pues quiero agradecer.
I want to thank you
y decir por qué
and say why
estoy por estas tierras tan hermosas,
in these beautiful
y contento
lands.
También por ver colombianos y colombianas.
I'm happy to see Colombians here.
Agradecerle a Dios Todopoderoso por permitirme
thank God, all powerful God,
estar por
for
acá,
being here,
contar con vida, para también contarles
to be alive,
algunas anécdotas del trabajo que hacemos los líderes sociales,
to share some anecdotes about social leaders,
y pedirle permiso a mis ancestros, mis mayores, mis maestros,
request permission from my ancestors, elders, that have inspired me
continuar con esta lucha,
to continue with this
que
fight.
Es una lucha histórica,
that's a historic
es un
fight.
Legado cultural, ancestral,
this is a cultural and ancestral legacy.
A través de la historia. Hoy luchamos por los que estamos,
we fight
pero también
for what
estamos
we are.
Dando esta lucha por los que vienen, por las futuras generaciones.
We fight this for the future generations.
Bueno, acá los compañeros Daniel, a Tom, a Emily, que
to
son parte del equipo que
here,
se atrevieron
Tom,
a ir a las entrañas del Cauca, de la región, en momentos tan difíciles.
In these difficult moments,
momentos donde se estaba llevando a cabo el proceso de dejación de armas
where it has
la,
been realizing
de una de las guerrillas más
abandonment
antiguas
of arms,
del mundo, como son la FARC, EP.
Mm-hmm. How the
que en la zona donde ellos iban a filmar
in the zone where they went to fight or when they went to film
en ese documental bueno decía que
I was saying
en,
that
en un momento difícil donde ellos
it was a very difficult moment when they
esta información
were collecting this information
alrededor de esa región estaba definida una zona de transición a la normalización.
There was a transition into the normalization
por parte de los excombatientes de la FARC.
By the ex-combatants of the FARC.
Zona completamente militarizada.
A zone completely militarized.
Y de una u otra forma, pues, con una gran expectativa.
In one way or another, a grand expectation.
Con los ojos del mundo puesto allá en esa zona.
With the whole world's eyes watching.
cualquier persona que entrara o se mueva allá.
Any person that would come in and out.
Con cámaras.
With cameras.
Un mono ojiazul, ¿cómo son los ojos ya a esta hora?
With blue eyes.
Exacto. Emily, los ven como raros, ¿no?
They see it as weird.
eso les llama la atención, así que no es fácil.
That calls attention to you, and that doesn't make things easy.
Pero bien por los muchachos que se atrevieron a hacerlo.
But good for the young people who dared to do it.
Antes de hacerlo, yo pedí permiso.
Before doing it, I asked permission.
A mi comunidad.
To my community.
La cual represento.
The one that I represent.
En un espacio organizativo.
In an organizing space.
Colectivo.
Collective.
Es una asociación de víctimas del conflicto.
An association of victims of the conflict.
Se llama Renacer Siglo XXI.
Oof, called Rebirth 20th Century. 21st Century.
Y el Consejo Comunitario.
And the community Council.
Cuenca Río Timba Mari López. Cuenca.
Cuenca.
Río Timba.
Río
Timba. Mari López.
That's the name of the council.
Largo como mi nombre.
Sí.
Esta figura organizativa.
This organizing figure.
Es propia en los pueblos negros de Colombia.
Is unique to the. It belongs to the black communities of Colombia.
En la ley 70.
In law 70.
Del año 1993.
Of 1993.
Que es la ley.
It is the law.
A favor de.
That favors.
La población negra.
The black community.
Afrocolombiana.
Afrocolombian.
Raizal. Y palenquera.
Raizal y palenquera. De.
O sea, nos dividieron en. Como quiso el sistema, en cuatro.
Mm-hmm.
Y somos los consejos comunitarios.
We are the community councils. Consejos comunitarios.
Pues, después de ese proceso ya.
After that process.
Dieron el permiso para iniciar con este trabajo.
They gave permission to start this work.
Tan importante.
So important.
Para nosotros y nosotras.
For all of us.
Porque pues ustedes pueden
You all can see in the documentary.
Muestra. La vida.
It shows life.
Del diario vivir de un líder.
Of everyday life of a leader.
En la comunidad.
In the community.
Eso que está en esas imágenes.
What you see in those images.
Son las imágenes de lo que pasa en el país, en todos los lugares del país.
They're images of what happens in the entire country.
Personalmente.
Personally.
Tengo que decirles.
I have to tell you.
Que. En estos temas sociales.
In these social issues.
Me involucré desde que tenía 9 años.
I was involved since I was 9 years old.
Me sacaban de reuniones.
They kicked you out of meetings.
Me sacaban de las reuniones, charlas, conversatorios.
¿Lo echaron?
Conversatorios.
They took you out to meetings. O sea, okay, yeah. So they took you out to meetings.
Exacto, porque eran espacios.
Because they were spaces.
Exclusivos.
Oh, exclusive. So.
Para personas mayores.
For older people.
Pero pues uno nace con eso, ¿no?
So I was born with that.
Eso es
like
un don,
that.
Un don personal.
That is a personal gift.
Y a pesar de todas las dificultades, hoy estoy contando el cuento.
And despite all of those difficulties, I am here telling you the story.
Bueno. Para aproximarme un poco a la pregunta que hace el compañero responder.
To get a little closer to the question that our companion asked.
Yo estoy ubicado en la zona norte del departamento del Cauca.
I'm located in the northern zone of Cauca.
Está conformada por 12 municipios.
It's made up of 12 municipalities.
12 municipios en un departamento.
12 municipalities in one
son como
department.
Pequeños estados ahí.
Are like small states.
Exacto. Compartimos territorio.
We share territory.
Con población indígena.
With the indigenous community.
Población campesina.
With the campesino community.
Y población afrodescendiente.
and the Afro-descendant community.
El Cauca está considerado como la cuna de la resistencia en el país.
Cauca is considered the crib of resistance in the country.
No solo por el ejemplo que dieron luchadores como Manuel Quintín Lame.
Not only because of the example that the fighters of Manuel Quintín Lame showed.
Yo voy mucho más allá.
I'm going even further.
Desde el año 1635.
From the year of 1635.
Nuestros ancestros negros y negras nunca quisieron tener un grillete, las cadenas en las manos, ni tampoco en los pies.
Our black ancestors never wanted to have chains on their feet or on their hands.
Siempre lucharon por la libertad.
They always fought for freedom.
Y el norte del Cauca,
and in northern Cauca,
es un ejemplo de ello.
Is an example of that.
Un ejemplo de lucha,
an example of struggle,
de nuestros ancestros negros y negras.
Of our black ancestors.
Lucharon por la libertad.
They fought for freedom.
Lucharon por la tierra.
They fought for
lucharon por la vida.
They fought for life.
Y pues yo soy un renaciente.
And I am reborn.
De esos mayores.
From those elders.
Así que en el Cauca hemos combinado tres luchas.
So in Cauca we have combined three struggles.
Y le mencionaba anteriormente la campesina, la negra, la indígena.
As I mentioned, the black, the indigenous, and the campesino.
Pero también en el marco de este conflicto.
But also in the frame of this conflict.
Hay otros sectores o actores también.
There are other sectors that also.
Se han levantado, nos hemos levantado para defendernos.
That have raised up to defend us.
Nos encontramos las mujeres también.
We find women also.
Los estudiantes.
Students.
Los sindicalistas.
The unions.
Bueno, y demás sectores también.
And other sectors.
Sociales.
Social sectors.
Bueno, muchas gracias. La otra pregunta es digamos, digamos que el conflicto colombiano, según como desde muchos estudiosos y como se articula de muchas maneras, es la narrativa de que el conflicto colombiano y digamos toda la lucha que se ha dado en Colombia es en contra de la concentración de tierras por parte de las familias tradicionales, ¿cierto? Y que la política tradicional en Colombia está ligada a ello, ¿cierto? Entonces los líderes sociales son aquellos que se salen de las formas tradicionales de política en Colombia, ¿cierto? ¿De qué manera, usted estaría de acuerdo conmigo en que esa es la causa del conflicto colombiano, esa lucha por las tierras, y digamos que, como usted lo dijo, se esparce a todo el resto del territorio? So what I just asked is if he agrees, according to so many experts on the field of what is the Colombian conflict, that it has always been a fight against the concentration of land in the hands of the few, and how the concentration of land also is tied up with traditional politics in Colombia, if he agrees with me on that.
Bueno, inicialmente.
Initially,
estaríamos ir reconfirmando y reconociendo que el conflicto
I would be reaffirming that the conflict starts effectively
por la tierra, por la disputa por la tierra, porque existe una concentración de la tierra en el país.
With the land conflict because there is such a concentration of land in the country.
Existe el latifundio, los monocultivos,
monocultures and the latifundio de.
¿Se acuerdan de la? Ahí mostraron unas imágenes verde, completamente verde.
You saw an image there of complete
ese
green.
Es el monocultivo de la caña de azúcar.
That is the monoculture of sugar cane.
De implementar ese tipo de proyectos.
So they have implemented that those types of projects.
Desplaza a pequeños propietarios.
Displacing small landowners.
Pero además del conflicto por la tierra,
but also in In addition to the land conflict,
hay otros conflictos en el país también.
There are other conflicts in the country as
Tienen
well.
Que ver, la discriminación racial, that has la estructural to do, también. Mm-hmm. Esos son los conflictos, digamos, podrían, por así decirlo, más graves, que no solamente están en la zona rural, mm-hmm. sino que esos conflictos se han también desplazados o están creciendo en las grandes ciudades.
So there are also conflicts of racial and structural discrimination that exist not only in the rural areas of the country but also in the urban parts of the country.
Los conflictos ambientales.
The environmental conflicts.
La disputa por los recursos naturales renovables y no renovables.
The dispute for renewable and non-renewable natural resources.
Miramos ahí un ejemplo de ello, el sistema mundial.
We look
que
at the
piensa
world
siempre
system,
en esa visión de desarrollo que tiene.
In that vision of development.
Y considera efectivamente a estos recursos.
And that consider these resources.
Una mercancía.
As a commodity.
Todos los recursos son una mercancía.
That these resources are
se
a commodity.
Compra, todo se vende.
Everything's bought and everything is sold.
Y para el caso de las zonas rurales.
And in the case of rural areas.
Ejemplos como el Pacífico colombiano.
Such as the Pacific Colombian Pacific Coast.
Chocó, Valle, Cauca, Nariño, mm-hmm. llanos orientales.
And all the plains,
donde,
the Oriental plains.
Son ricos, ya sea por yacimientos de petróleo, oro,
they are rich in oil, emeralds,
agua,
gold, water,
recursos maderables, por ejemplo,
wood resources.
¿Quiénes estamos ahí? Pues estamos los negros,
who's there?
Indígenas,
black people, indigenous people, and the campesinos.
¿Y cómo nos sacan?
And how do they take
us out? Sacan ese plomo generando guerra donde no la hay.
They take us out with bullets and putting a war where there is none.
Y el otro de los conflictos que ha generado y genera también no solamente conflicto en el país,
another,
sino a nivel mundial.
Another conflict that has taken place not only in the country but at the
es el narcotráfico.
Level of the world is drug trafficking.
Y recuerden ustedes las causas del narcotráfico, por ejemplo, Estados Unidos.
And remember the cause of,
estamos,
of the drug problem is where we are here in the United States.
De los países que dicen donde más se trae la coca, pues Colombia no es el único país productor, pero dicen que es como
Colombia
como
is not the only coca producing country.
Pero viene harta para acá, ¿no?
And a lot of that comes here to
y
the
que
US.
Las soluciones a este fenómeno.
The solutions to this problem, this phenomenon,
no han sido tampoco las más efectivas.
Have not been the most effective.
Y bueno, y hoy se están pagando consecuencias ahí.
And those consequences are being paid.
No sé si respondí un poco. Bueno, en otro espacio habrá más para profundo, pero bueno. Trato de aproximarme un poquito.
All right, so in the process of making this film, how long did you spend in the region and talking to these organizations and the leaders? And what kind of, I'm more interested in what kind of like notions or assumptions you came in, and then when you were like shooting and after like in the editing room, what other questions you were left with?
Well, so we filmed the film over the space of a year. We started in January 2017, roughly, and we finished it in March 2018. And over that year, the assassination of human rights defenders kept going at an incremental rate. And we did it over the course of about four trips. Each lasted about 2 weeks. One of them was slightly shorter. And we met Hector through an organization called Marcha Patriótica, Feliciano Valencia, which is the indigenous NASA leader. We met him through Somos Defensores. And we also met this other woman who's not in the film called Briseida Ribeiro. She's in the credits. And Briseida Ribeiro was this coca producer campesina. and she fought for the rights of the women in her community and victims of the conflict. We decided to not include her in the end. She got all the way to the edit, we edited sequences with her, but her security situation was much more complicated than Hector's or Feliciano's. Hector has a bulletproof vehicle with two bodyguards, and Feliciano has the indigenous guard. And Briseida didn't have either of those things, and both herself and her children and her husband were all receiving threats at the time, so we just thought we'd not include her because the a lot of people, and it is proven that if you raise someone's visibility, you also raise the protection, but it's only if they've already got a certain visibility to start off with. So for example, including Hector, including Feliciano, help their security processes, whereas we didn't feel that with Briseida Rivero. And in terms of how we felt going in, I think both myself and Tom worked as, well, myself as a journalist and Tom as a photojournalist covering the Colombian conflict and the peace process. And we, both of us felt that we very much we're always seeing FARC, FARC, FARC in the news, and that there's a war going on with the or peace process going on with the FARC, and this is an incredible thing. And it is, don't get me wrong, it is really it's really important, but the burden of peace falls on people like Hector and like Feliciano, and that story just wasn't getting told at all. So we then got in touch with Daniel Bustos, who's a very well-known Colombian producer, and we got him involved, and all of us decided to basically bring more attention to the issue. And I don't think any of us expected it was going to be as dangerous or as difficult as it really was. And the region in which Hector is in is incredibly complicated. It's even more complicated now. I hope that answered.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as a quick side note, there was this big process of demobilization for paramilitaries in 2006, which was largely a scam. And these groups have become so many other things. They've continued their criminal kind of ongoings, and they've taken other names. And these groups are they call Bakrim like criminal groups, basically. And they are, like, you saw that paper that Hector got in his hand that said Águilas Negras. Well, they used to be AUC, like Autodefensas Unidas de Colombia, and now they're Águilas Negras or Urabeños. You also saw the graffiti in one of the streets that Urabeños. So those are the main kind of like political threats right now, that these groups still, they were more or less like this kind of mercenaries by the, you could say so, the political elite to take care of their lands and their own political economic interests, in especially like in Urabá, where they protected Chiquita Banana with the banana plantations and so forth. And it's amazing how it's become like this major threat to most active political activists in Colombia. So in a way, were you aware of this threat of like paramilitaries, and how did you kind of like cope with it, or like?
Yes, I will do it in Spanish because my English is not so good to do it. Entonces, te pido el favor. Cuando nosotros fuimos la primera vez,
when we went the first time,
lo que se veía, digamos, en el ambiente, obviamente habíamos hecho investigación.
What we saw in the environment, even though we had done some research ahead of time,
era que los que estaban matando,
it was that the ones that were killing,
eran las águilas negras,
were the black eagles, las águilas negras.
Y algunos irresponsables culpaban a Uribe Vélez, el expresidente.
And some Qué pena repetir.
A algunos irresponsables.
Some unresponsible people.
Culpaban a Uribe Vélez, el expresidente.
Related to the former president Álvaro Uribe.
Yeah. Cuando llegamos allá y encontramos a Héctor y encontramos a Feliciano.
When we got there and found Héctor and Feliciano.
La sorpresa fue enorme porque nos dimos cuenta que no solamente había una derecha que estaba acabando con estas comunidades.
The surprise was that not only was there a right that was a political right wing that was fighting against these communities and killing these communities,
sino también las Águilas Negras, que son de derecha, digamos.
There were also the Black Eagles that are of the right wing.
Y narcoficantes, ELN
and
y
drug
disidentes de las FARC.
ELN and
disidentes de las FARC.
And dissidents of the FARC.
Entonces el problema era muy grande.
So the problem was really big.
Y pues también se enfrentaban a problemas de tierras con otros familiares.
So that led to confrontations with other families
que no necesariamente pertenecen a grupos políticos en Colombia.
That were not, or other groups of people that were not necessarily involved with these political groups or these armed groups in Colombia.
So it's a bit more complicated than just the right wing paramilitaries.
Yeah.
And you have the whole spectrum of illegal armed groups just like going against each other, and then like you always have the civilian population being in the midst of it. More or less like Bohaja.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the shorts here, there's two shorts that were being presented, and they're by filmmaker Edison Sanchez about the Bohaja community that was caught in the crossfire between paramilitaries and guerrilla. Paramilitaries are right wing, and guerrilla are left wing, and they're mostly of communist and Stalinist ideals, and they were fighting against each other for this over control of this community called Bohaja. And they ended up killing somewhere around 120 people that were taking up refuge in a church. And these two shorts over there tell the story of that community. And they just confirmed that this kind of like crossfire and like fighting between groups is also something that is ongoing with the ELN group, which is Ejército de Liberación Nacional in Colombia, which is a guerrilla group that hasn't demobilized, unlike the FARC. So you have another, also, you used to have another third and fourth guerrilla groups that most of them have kind of like gotten to peace terms with the government, but the current government doesn't want to sign a peace treaty with the ELN, which is a new right-wing government. Also, you guys were here. You're officially here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, by invitation by a congressman, right? Ola, you got in contact with him, you called your congressman, and you were like, we want to join your efforts in this, and I would like you to tell the audience how was the process of like being here in Washington, talking to all this congressmen and like political types and NGOs.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I said already, kind of mentioned, you know, we started off, we wanted to bring attention to this issue because there was so much more, it seemed like there was so much more attention in the media on the FARC demobilizing, and every day, not so much in the Colombian press, but via human rights groups in the country, via WhatsApp notifications, via social media, we were starting to understand that a lot of these social leaders and human rights defenders throughout the country were being killed. And we wanted to bring attention to that. And I would say from the beginning, we thought about doing kind of a journalistic documentary that we could try to get published in the media. We couldn't get anyone to commission it. No media was interested. No one, you know, people just wouldn't respond, or they would say, yeah, it sounds like a great story, but, you know, we're too interested in the FARC. Okay. So we decided to do it anyway. The three of us kind of got together and put our heads together and put a little bit of money together, did a first trip, had the experience with Héctor, Feliciano. We started establishing our characters. Then we were supported by Kahar. And I'm trying to just piece this together too, to kind of, this was kind of our strategy, right, over time. So we got a little bit of support from Kahar. We were able to continue production. We actually, through Danny, we were able to rally a little support from the Ministry of Culture as well in Colombia. And then eventually, once we had the edit, we got The Atlantic interested. I also do, I cover kind of the same issue from a photojournalist perspective for El Espectador, one of the Colombian national newspapers. So we knew that we would have their interest as well. They've been great in terms of like publishing when we try to get this story out. So it first was published by El Espectador in late May, and then a few days later it was published by The Atlantic. We did a Spanish version and an English version. And then it was a complete coincidence, actually, that there's a congressional representative, Jim McGovern from Massachusetts, who has been a longtime advocate for social issues in Latin America and has proven himself over decades getting the U.S. government to pay attention to what's going on in Latin America. And coincidentally, he had submitted a letter to the administration with 74 congressional signatures calling for action on the assassinations of social leaders in Colombia. It was published the same, it was sent into the administration the same day that our film appeared on The Atlantic, which was a complete coincidence. We thought that we can't let that coincidence go unnoticed, so I literally just picked up the phone from Bogota and called McGovern's office and said, "Hi, I'm a filmmaker. I just published a film on The Atlantic about this very issue. We would love to see how we might be able to work together to use the film to engage the government, engage civil society and the public." And that set in process this entire tour, basically. It was really as easy as that. The person that answered the phone, she said, "That sounds amazing. Let me put you in touch with my comms director." He emailed me immediately. And then at the same time, WOLA, which is an amazing organization, for those that don't know it, I'm sure a lot of people do, the Washington Office on Latin America, they're major advocates for social issues in Latin America and policy. And so we contacted them, and basically through WOLA, Jimena Sanchez at WOLA, and the three of us basically began organizing on the invitation by Jim McGovern's office to come to DC. And so we're actually just, we just got to Philly today from Washington. We mega busted up here after a week of, last Monday we had the opportunity to go with Hector, as well as a bunch of other organizations like CEHIL, the Human Rights Colombian Human Rights Committee, Latin American Working Group, and WOLA and Kahar. We met with the State Department. They actually took the time to have a meeting. That was interesting, meeting with the State Department in the era of Trump. But they did take some notes. And they listened to Hector, which was the most important. We met also with three different Senate offices. And I think that that's the real work, right? I mean, that's the advocacy side of this, of actually going and sitting down in front of people and sharing stories with these people who are going to take notes, and they're going to tell their bosses, they're going to tell senators. And then, you know, when you can, if you can say, hey, there's a specific piece of legislation, or, you know, they'll read your emails when you send them news about what's going on. And I think, you know, there's nothing like just showing up and doing that work. And so aside from that, we had a public screening kind of like this. And then yesterday we took it to Capitol Hill, and McGovern actually came and gave the opening remarks. And then we had media there. Caracol from Colombia did a TV interview with Hector. We got him an interview with Al Jazeera as well. And I think that it's just worth sharing that, because this is totally possible. You know, for any issue that any of you may be working on, it really is just about kind of getting the team together and engaging with your elected officials. And, you know, we also did a GoFundMe. So thank you so much for anyone out there that supported us, because we were able to raise the money just to make this trip happen. So it's just kind of, it's a team effort. And I think that you can make change by engaging your elected officials. Hopefully, you know, we'll see, but.
You mentioned something that is interesting to me personally, is that the media landscape is not, or international outlets are not that interested in the killing of social leaders, right? They're more interested, like, the hot news is FARC peace agreement, and everything is focused on that. maybe I'm you know, I what I think is that they think violence is endemic in Latin America, hence there's killings every other day, so the lives of these people are not interested. But what's your take? Why is it not reverberating or like being integrated in Colombia? At the very least, I know that we all know. I mean, if we ask Hector, this kind of news are not on national media because it doesn't bode well with the interests that are at stake at a national level. You know, national media in Colombia are monopolized by a few families. You only hear of what they want to share with you, basically. But with international outlets, I just want to know, basically, because I'm not in that world.
I'd like to respond briefly, and then maybe you could ask in Spanish, and Hector could respond as well. I don't know why the international media isn't interested in this ongoing massacre of social leaders and the people who truly have the burden of building peace in the country. So, you know, we should all be asking that. I do know that trying to pitch stories on indigenous and Afro communities in Latin America is super difficult. And it's up to us to just continue to do that and tell these stories because they need to be told. I'd like Hector too to...
Just briefly, because I've pitched the story quite a lot to other outlets. I also work in radio and print. And a big question that I always come up to and I can't answer is who's actually killing these people? And there's not, as we've already spoken about, there's not one group. There's not, like, even we were speaking to Diana Sanchez and Somos Defensores, and she said how Águilas Negras is this thing, but it functions as what she termed a franquicia, which is like a brand. So a random person can also just print their logo off, like, in their town and hand it around and intimidate people. So it's really difficult to know where these threats are coming from. And a lot of the outlets I spoke to were just like, oh, but we don't know who's killing them. It's like, that's not really enough of a story. It's just, they could be dying for whatever reason. They couldn't really piece together the systematicity of it, even though it is clearly there's a pattern there. And so I think for me, that's a big obstacle I came up to, but let's hear from Hector.
So just quickly, some politicians say in Colombia that these social leaders might as well are being killed because they're fighting for women. Leo de Faldes. So just quickly, I'm going to end with this question to Hector, and then we're going to open it up to the audience. Bueno, Hector, entonces estamos hablando de que en Colombia... O sea, nosotros presuponemos que estas noticias de los líderes sociales no aparecen en RCN, Caracol, los medios tradicionales de Colombia, porque pues, por supuesto, son un monopolio de unos pocos, ¿cierto? Y esos pocos están tratando de cubrir sus intereses familiares, económicos, lo que fuera. O simplemente no aparecen en las noticias porque no, ellos no quieren, ¿sí? Pero, ¿por qué crees tú que los medios nacionales o tradicionales ocultan estas muertes? So I just asked the same question. Why does Hector think this news about the killings of social leaders, which are target killings of people that are involved in non-traditional politics, are not on national news in Colombia?
Bueno, aquí hay que entender uno de quién tiene el poder.
One has to look at who has power.
Y el poder para qué.
And power for what.
Entonces, los medios de comunicación.
So the media.
De mayor audiencia, poder en el país.
The majority of the audience in
Caracol.
The country
RCN,
is Caracol, RCN.
Y ellos son los que mayormente pautan.
And they are the ones who normally,
que están arrodillados a los medios porque se benefician, digo, al poder, hablo del poder central, de quien manejan las empresas, las transnacionales y el gobierno.
They represent the ones with power, the government, and other international powers.
Y precisamente para nosotros es muy importante.
Precisely for us, it's very important.
Estar en estos espacios.
To be in those spaces.
Acá que ustedes nos miren, 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 sí, ese es el que pasa.
Where all of you see what's going on.
Que cuenten carne propia realmente lo que pasa.
That we can say, like in the flesh, what is happening.
Porque eso que ocurre allá en nuestras comunidades.
This that happens in our communities.
Esos números de hermanos y hermanas que pasan por ahí son malucos de mencionarlos, ¿no?
That number of things that happen there, it's bad that it happens.
Porque los líderes sociales no somos cifras.
Because we are not, we social leaders are not statistics.
Pero desafortunadamente, pues eso es lo que somos.
But unfortunately, that's what we are in this framework of this system.
El ministro de defensa anterior,
the defense minister, the previous defense minister,
decía que el asesinato,
he said that the murder
de lideresas
of social leaders,
o decía a líos de faldas, ¿no? Si quieren, entienden un poco qué es líos de faldas.
Oh.
Es que amantes, otra mujer.
Oh, they were fighting over women.
Por,
okay. Okay.
Por linderos, por tierra, o sea que.
For territories, yes.
Sí, o sea que el vecino, bueno. Tú te me pasaste un poco más acá y entonces por eso
okay.
Se agarran y bueno, o sea.
So they would say that the neighbor, you crossed me here and that's what happened.
Sencillamente eso para no asumir.
Simply to not assume.
La responsabilidad que tiene el Estado.
Responsibility that the state has and the government
de
has.
Salvaguardar la vida y honra de los colombianos y colombianas.
To save the lives and the honor of Colombian people.
Y para no reconocer que esto es sistemático.
And to not recognize
esto
that this
es dirigido
is systemic.
A una población.
This is directed at a population.
Que históricamente hemos luchado por la vida.
That historically we have fought
la
for
defensa
life.
Defensa del territorio.
Defense of territory.
La paz con justicia social.
Peace and social justice.
Por educación digna.
For a dignified education.
Por salud digna.
For dignified health.
Por vivienda digna también.
For life and housing with dignity.
Entonces, esta semana, ya hace 8 días llegamos acá a Estados Unidos.
So a week ago we got here to the United States.
A Washington, de pronto acá el compañero lo mencionó.
To Washington, which our friend has already mentioned.
Haciendo una incidencia con el alto gobierno acá de los Estados Unidos.
Meeting with the higher government officials of the U.S.
Que tiene incidencia directa con el gobierno colombiano.
That have meetings with the government in Colombia as well.
Y tenemos que entender también,
we have to also understand,
que el actual presidente de la República,
that the current Colombian president,
hace parte de un grupo político,
is part of a political group,
que se opuso that, a los acuerdos,
that was opposed to the peace agreements, and he is in power now.
Y la preocupación nuestra,
and our current concern,
como colombianos y colombianas,
as Colombians,
es que el acuerdo no se implemente tal como se firmó.
Is that the agreement won't be implemented as it was signed.
Eso nos llevaría,
that would take us,
a un escenario inclusive peor del que hemos pasado.
To an even worse scene than what has already happened to us.
Y tenemos que reconocer que ya lo estamos viviendo.
And we have to recognize that that's what we're living right now.
No solamente asesinan a los líderes.
They don't only kill leaders.
No solamente nos amenazan.
They don't only threaten them.
Sino que también hay que manifestar
they also,
que hay un grupo alto de excombatientes asesinados.
There is also a high group of ex-combatants.
Eso
murdered.
No es garantía.
That's not a guarantee.
El gobierno se comprometió también.
The government has agreed also
con proyectos productivos
with productive
a los,
projects
a los excombatientes.
For ex-combatants.
Y en la medida que el gobierno no ha cumplido,
and to the extent that the government has not implemented,
ha ido creciendo,
what has grown,
las llamadas disidencias,
are the dissidents.
Imagínense ustedes una persona de esas que está enseñado 20 años boleando plomo.
Imagine if you're one of these people that have
solo sabe
has
disparar.
20 years of your life only knowing how to shoot, only how to kill.
Sale, no sabe hacer otra cosa.
And you don't know how to do anything else when you come out.
No se le generan condiciones diferentes.
You are not given other conditions.
No hay apoyo psicosocial tampoco.
There's
es
no
un tema
psychosocial
de
support, which is also needed.
Recursos ni se diga por ningún lado.
Resources don't even think about it.
Imagínese la única opción que le queda.
Imagine that the only option that you have
es seguir delinquiendo.
Is to keep committing crimes.
¿Y quiénes pagamos esas consecuencias?
And who pays those consequences?
Las comunidades.
The communities.
En el marco del acuerdo,
in the framework of the agreement,
está el punto número 4.
Point number 4.
Que tiene que ver con la sustitución de cultivos de uso ilícito.
That talks about the substitution of illicit crops.
Y básicamente, hoy que la FARC dejaron, no están en esas zonas que históricamente estuvieron.
And basically today, now that the FARC is not in those territories that it exists.
Hay una cantidad de grupos que ya los compañeros aquí mencionaron.
There are many groups that these there are many groups there that have already been mentioned.
Y muchos de esos grupos efectivamente están dedicados al narcotráfico.
And many of those groups have taken
over minería ilegal,
narco trafficking, illegal mining.
Y nosotros que hemos luchado por la vida,
and we who have fought for life,
son los que estamos acompañando a las comunidades y socializando la implementación de los acuerdos.
We are also accompanying the communities, but also the ones to implement the agreements.
Y por eso nos matan.
And for that reason they're killing us.
Por eso nos asesinan.
For that reason they're murdering us.
Y hablando de cifras, este año,
and speaking of statistics, this year,
la COCAM, que es la cultivadora coordinación.
Oh, la COCAM. Okay, this is an organization. That is the La COCAMA, ¿qué es?
Mm-hmm. De cultivadores.
Repite cómo.
Coordinación.
The coordination.
De cultivadores.
Of cultivators.
De hoja de coca.
Of coca leaf.
Marihuana.
Marijuana.
Y amapola.
And amapola. So, sorry. Poppy. So that's the name of the organization, COCAMA.
Digamos, es la. La que recoge a este sector en el país.
The ones that are in these sectors of the country.
Que somos los que articulamos con el gobierno.
We speak with the government.
En un espacio.
In a space.
Que es el Consejo de Dirección Permanente.
That is a permanent directive council.
Ahí se discute toda la política.
That's where all is discussed about the politics of.
Para darle una posible solución al problema de las drogas.
To give a solution to the drug problem.
Los cultivadores,
the cultivators,
voluntariamente,
voluntarily,
han firmado cualquier cantidad de acuerdos de sustitución.
Have signed any number of agreements of substitution.
A cambio de proyectos productivos.
Instead of projects, instead of productive projects.
Que el gobierno se comprometió.
That the government has agreed to, that they have agreed to, yes, not instead of.
El 25% ha cumplido.
25% has been
y el resto
agreed
no.
on, and the rest not.
Y entonces por eso la cifra tan alarmante de Naciones Unidas.
For those reasons, those statistics so alarming in the United Nations.
Cuando señala.
When they point to.
Que los cultivadores, que los campesinos, los indígenas y los negros,
and say that the campesinos, the black community, the indigenous, yeah,
somos los culpables del aumento de los cultivos de uso ilícito.
That we are the ones who are guilty for the increase in illegal crops.
Eso no es así.
It's not like that.
La culpa es del gobierno que no ha cumplido.
The fault is of the government that has not completed their end of the agreement.
Pero la gran preocupación nuestra,
but our great concern,
es que solo se está atacando al eslabón más débil de la cadena.
Is that they are only attacking the weakest parts of the chain.
El problema de salud pública no se toca.
The problem of public health isn't talked about.
Las grandes transnacionales que producen los agroquímicos para cultivar la coca tampoco se toca.
Mm-hmm. The big companies that produce the chemicals that are used to produce coca are not even talked about.
Y entonces el embajador aquí ante en Estados Unidos, Francisco Santos,
the U.S. ambassador to Colombia,
decía hace días acá que la única solución es mandar los aviones.
Said that the only solution just a little while ago was to send the planes to fumigate for aerial herbicide with aerial herbicides.
Los cultivadores están dispuestos a dar su vida exactamente por sostener un proyecto de vida a través del cultivo de coca.
The cultivators are ready to give their lives, están dispuestos a dar la vida.
Su vida, o sea, pelear, salir a las calles, marchas, tomarse las vías como siempre lo han estado haciendo, reivindicando ese derecho a la vida.
Right, to affirm their right to life.